Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you all for being here and for being supporters. I got to tell you that when I think about this, most people, I think, know me, or refer to me as Senator Mike Jacobson, but the people that really know me know that I'm the husband of Julie Jacobson. So she's the gal who writes all the articles on the Telegraph. This is another one of those issues where are you taking me again? It's been just a little over 8 weeks ago that I was on a phone conversation with the governor, and he was telling me I should consider doing this. And my first phone call was to Mel McNay to talk to Mel about it, and I didn't get the words out of my mouth. And he said, Mike, you need to do this. My second call was to Ty Lucas and Kim Scholl to say, hey, I've got an opportunity here, what do you think? And they were very quick to say, Mike, you need to do this. So I sat for an interview, and I wasn't sure that I was ready to do this, and by the time I got the interview over with, I decided, you know, this is something I think that would really serve me well, and I think I could do a great job with. And so when I got the call that Wednesday, can you be down here later this morning? I literally dropped everything. Thank God I've got a great staff. And I realized how little I was doing at the bank. Because I got to tell you, it has been nonstop. And Matt can attest to this, that I showed up the week before they started doing all-day sessions. Okay, and I didn't sit through any of the committees, any of the committee hearings, any of the half-day stuff. I didn't go to Billy's. Most of those nights, it was only about a week I got to go to Billy's, which I still feel I got shortchanged on that. But so then it was come early, stay late, and skip lunch on a lot of days, which wasn't fun. But it's an amazing adventure. It has been an amazing adventure, and it's going to be an interesting opportunity to move forward. I want to give you a little background again. I know Ty alluded to the fact that I grew up on a family farm. Well, I did grow up really dirt poor and with a large family. I have 7 brothers and sisters. My youngest brother is 10 years younger than I am, so we've got a picture that the mailman took out in front of the house when I was like 3 years old, I suppose, and I was hanging on maybe 4, and I was very shy at the time. Most people, I'm gonna show you the picture, because most of you wouldn't agree that I was ever shy, but I was, okay? But I'll tell you, one thing about growing up poor and growing up in a big family is you learn to appreciate people, you learn to appreciate the little things, you learn to work together and be a collaborator, and that's where I really got my love of agriculture and my love of watching things grow. And I think through the years that what has been motivating to me is I've always been working at jobs so I could afford to farm. And so I went to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, graduated a degree in ag economics, ag education, came back to the farm. Fortunately, I married Julie, and she was really smart as a biochemistry and nutrition major, went to work for the research center and Clay Center. So I was in great shape. I had somebody to get me the health insurance, provide some food that we needed, and I could go farm. Well, that lasted one summer, and then I ended up getting a call from the superintendent of schools in Red Cloud, offered me a job. I told him no, and then the next week, or 2 weeks later, I was starting as the job there with the superintendent of schools at Red Cloud. He taught me a lot about negotiating skills, and I didn't have to be a lot better than negotiating skills, and I did. And then was there for a year when the Shipley started the program there, and then got an opportunity to get into banking. And once getting into banking, I said, no, I can maybe do this as a career. So it's been an interesting time. We've been very blessed. I am a huge believer in divine guidance. I mean, when I look at where I began, the opportunities that God has given us along the way, including meeting Julie, including getting involved in the careers that I've been involved in, I've truly been blessed, and I truly mean that. Opportunities just came up along the way. All I needed to do was follow my conscience. I still think about when I had the conversation with Kim Scholl about, hey, let's start a bank. And you know, I had a perfectly good job at the time, and so did Kim. Now, fortunately, Kim was a lot younger, and she didn't know better. And so she said, yeah, why not? Let's go do this. And then, of course, later, we felt like evil Knievel, looking back about 5 years later, think, what on earth were we thinking of? You know, don't try this at home. But it's been an interesting process along the way. Some things that I've learned along the way is it's all about team building. It's all about putting together great people, helping them be a part of the solution, and then get out of their way and let them really excel in what they do. Collaboration is incredibly powerful when you work that. I found that in everything I've done along the way, and I'm certainly finding that at the legislature. I can also tell you that we've had a lot of challenges along the way. Many of you that heard a floor speech when we were talking about 933, the abortion bill. I can tell you that it didn't take me a long time to form my opinion on abortion because we had a 24-week baby who was 24 weeks along, and he was born prematurely. He lived for 5 weeks and he died on the 10th wedding anniversary. And I can tell you that was a challenge. It was a challenge for us when we started asking ourselves, why did this happen after several miscarriages and then dying on our 10th wedding anniversary? But I can tell you the reason for that was that we then had the opportunity to adopt two children and raise those two children, and we knew that God had a plan for us and that's what we were to do. I'm convinced that when I gave up a perfectly good job with First Commerce in Charter, Nebraska land, that God had a plan for us. And just as I look at what's going on right now, 8 weeks ago, I was looking forward to getting involved in the field this spring on the farm. And
we were
going
to go to Hawaii.
Oh, we were going to go to Hawaii. That was going to be the consolation prize. So I told the governor that. I said, I guess you can appoint me to the legislature or we'll go to Hawaii. And then we end up canceling the trip to Hawaii and been to the legislature. And so I'm not quite sure how that really worked out. I've got to think about that one a little bit. But it's been a great adventure. I think we got a lot done. This was an amazing legislative session. Obviously, my first time through it, I had to learn very, very quickly. One of the things I said when I first got there in my first floor speech, when I was introduced to the body, is I told them that you're not always going to have my vote, but one thing I will guarantee you is you will always have my respect. And if I accomplish anything in the legislature, it's to restore the respect that our district deserves in your representative. And every focus on that. Far too often, our part of the state and our district has come up short on issues across the state. We look at the vet's home that ends up in Kearney. We look at the fairgrounds that ends up in Grand Island. But nothing seems to come out here. I intend to change that. I intend to be a part of that change force that's going to occur along the way, that's going to get us being a part of that process. The rail park, I think, was one of the big first wins, and that we were able to gather the $30 million to go towards the rail park. And I can tell you that Grand Island and Fremont did about everything they could to fight me for that. And fortunately, I had a good relationship with the speaker, and I had a good relationship with a lot of other senators, including Matt Williams. And I knew how to count votes just like other people did, and I knew as long as they couldn't get 25, they weren't going to take our money away from us. And so I made sure that happened. You don't have to be brilliant down there, you just have to count votes, okay? And you have to work with people in order to get those votes. So I would tell you that not only did we get the rail park funding, we got the additional funding for sustainable beef, not the $15 million in the governor's budget, but $20 million, so an additional $5 million for that project. We got the project down on the Perkins County project. We got $53.5 million to do the feasibility study there and to be able to get the land options done. And so we also were able to get funding for the community college, a lot of this all through ARPA. But the crown jewel to all of this, and Matt and I both have signed copies by the governor, was passing the largest tax cut in state history. That was the biggest point. And I can tell you there were some pretty ugly fights on the floor, particularly when it came to the income tax cut, but there was something for everyone. Over the next 5 years, we'll eliminate taxation of Social Security income for our seniors. We're going to reduce the highest level of income tax, both personal and individual, by a full percentage point. and we're going to raise the amount of the refundable income tax credit associated with property taxes. So it'll be no lower than $548 million, and it'll go up a maximum of 5% a year as we move on out. This is real progress. This is real tax reduction. It's a start, but it's a great start. We've got more to do, but I'm absolutely convinced that we can get that done. A lot of it's going to come back to being careful on spending as we move forward, continuing to grow our economy. Mel had talked about a couple of things about some things we need to do here locally. One of them is everyone's aware that the Mullen nursing home closed, okay? Mel and I have talked about that. He's met with them. We've debriefed and understand what happened there. What happened there? Well, it wasn't any one thing. It's a combination of things, and most problems are that way. It doesn't come down to one thing. You got to look at it holistically. You got to go back and think as a business person, what really took place? Well, if you look at the Mullen Nursing Home, it's a combination of low provider rates, lack of availability of nursing staff, inflation. That nursing home had a capacity of 30 people. It had 17 residents at the time that it closed. It needed 20 to break even. Their idea was to be at 24 people in the nursing home. They had, from July of 2020 to July of 2021, a $100,000 increase in cost for employees and a $100,000 increase in other overhead. Think about that, spreading it out over those number of employees. Any question why that place failed? They're not going to be the only one if we can't make changes. So how do we fix that? Well, certainly one step was the legislature did approve additional higher. We moved provider rates up from 8% to 15% through the funding cycle that's going to occur over the next 3 years. So we're going to start with provider rates, but we're also going to have to look at regulation. Okay, we're going to have to look at regulation. How can we do this through telehealth and other mechanisms to be able to provide the care that they need without having to have all of these paid people on staff? We've got to be able to lower that overhead cost. And all of that, and the other thing we've got to do is we've got to get more providers in the system. Why are provider costs so high? Because we have so few out there. So there was work also done to help with the nursing training facility and the new facility in Kearney. It won't be done tomorrow. None of this will happen tomorrow, but we're looking to what changes do we need to make structurally to fix these problems so that people can live in this part of the state and enjoy their livelihood, be close to their family, and allow our part of the state to continue to prosper. Those are the kinds of things we've got to do. We've got to be visionary about what we do. We got to think about what we can do going forward, what needs to be done from a business perspective to help make our part of the state more successful. So I'm excited about the challenge ahead. I want to thank you all for being here. I appreciate your support. If you can help anyone, help encourage others to vote for me, I'd appreciate it. One commitment I made when I went to accept this job in the legislature is it's going to come first. So I spent my time in the legislature. I've not been running around campaigning. I've not been knocking on doors. I've been doing all the things that I've been doing none of the things you're supposed to do when you're running for elective office. But what I'm hoping is that my reputation and my background in being able to get things done will help in the primary, that I can win this primary and go on and win the general election.